You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
When the Jags come with you, Falcons, what you gonna do? Browns, what you gonna do? Carolina, what you gonna do? Them Jags coming for you. Yeah, them digging Jags, here they come.
All right, welcome back to Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Today I'll be going solo. Chris is busy with some other stuff that popped up, but have no fear, the podcast will go on without him today. You can follow me on Twitter at Zach_Goodall. Be sure to throw Chris a follow as well at MistoCristofo. And most importantly, be sure to throw the Locked On Jaguars Twitter handle a follow at Locked On Jaguars. They are 9, and I repeat, 9 followers away from breaking the 300 mark. So let's go ahead and get them there as soon as possible with more and more Jaguars coverage and content coming your way. So this week we are facing the Jaguars' first home playoff game since 1999/2000, the year it actually happened in, but the season of 1999 regardless, up against Doug Marrone's former team, Marcel Darius' former team, the Buffalo Bills. Their fans know how to travel, and they are a ruthless fan base, so this is going to be a loud stadium, both obviously Jaguars fans being loud and excited for their first playoff game at home since 1999 to 2000, and the Bills' first playoff game in general since, I think it was 2000 as well. It's been 18 years, so I'm curious to see how the stadium will turn out. It is a sellout crowd. I do think it'll be loud on both sides of the ball. It's going to be exciting, and we'll go ahead and get right into it. Looking at the injury reports for Wednesday for both teams, Blake Bortles, right wrist injury, full participant, you know the deal. Avery Jones was limited with a back injury, the starting slash rotational nose tackle, which could mean Marcel Darius will get more time against his former team, which I have no issue with. Darius has been a star when he's been on the field this year. Marquise Lee did not practice with an ankle injury. Doug Marrone actually came out and said he could not practice throughout the week and still be fine to go this weekend. So we will, I'm sure, find out more about him come Sunday. Mercedes Lewis did not practice with an ankle injury. Him being out would hurt the run game because when they use him, he's always used as a blocker. He helps the run game a lot. Wherever he goes, you can see that there's a lot more room to work with, especially if Leonard Fournette and co. are trying to break outside. Donald Payne, the linebacker, special teamer, did not practice with a quad injury. Cam Robinson, who missed last week's game with an ab injury, was limited. He needs to play, and he needs to play well, because you can tell that they are missing a beat in pass protection, as well as in the run game without him being there, but especially in pass protection. A lot more pressure was allowed against the Titans with Josh Wells there at left tackle. He is not good, and they need Cam back, so it'll be interesting to see if he is a full go for this week. They need him to be. Then we will go ahead and look at the Bills' injury report. It's a little longer than the Jaguars. A lot more did not practice, guys. Lorenzo Alexander, linebacker, he had a rest day, did not practice, so I wouldn't take that into account much. Kelvin Benjamin, who they traded for from the Carolina Panthers in the middle of the season, he was limited with a knee injury, as well as Charles Clay was limited with an knee injury. Those are kind of their 1-2 for the receiving core, not including their next injury, LeSean McCoy, who actually was up at the top of their receiving stats for the year. I don't know if he was number one or not, but he was used both as a running back and as a number one receiver in a way. Yes, it was LeSean McCoy. He actually had 59 receptions this year. So those two, both Benjamin and Charles Clay, hurt this. If they're hurt and they're not able to go 100%, that'll hurt their passing game. LeSean McCoy did not practice with an ankle injury. They haven't clarified exactly what the injury was. At first, it was a high ankle sprain. They're not sure if that's the case now. He's one of the best running backs in the league, and he opens up a lot of opportunity for that Bills offense to get things rolling. Even though they do have efficiency in the passing game, it's not a stellar passing game at all. They do rely on LeSean McCoy to be their big guy, the guy that will break off for a lot of good runs and be able to wear a defense down. So if he is out, because his injury did look serious on Sunday, he was carted off the field. They are now considering him to be a day-to-day injury, a lot less serious than what they originally thought. But if he were to be out or even limited in his play, that'll help the Jaguars a ton. Matt Milano, a linebacker, did not practice with a hamstring injury. Jordan Mills, a tackle, did not practice with an ankle injury. Deontay Thompson, a wide receiver, more receiver depth, being out with a shoulder injury, did not practice. Joe Webb, backup quarterback, I think he's the third string behind Nathan Peterman. And, of course, their starter, Tyrod Taylor, was limited with an ankle injury. Kyle Williams had a rest day. Their starting defensive tackle did not practice. He is a very good player. He's just had a rest day. He'll be fine the rest of the week. I think backup corner Sharice Wright had a concussion and did not practice. So there's a lot more to look at with this Bills injury report. There's a lot of room for hope if these guys like McCoy, Clay, Charles Clay, if they don't, if they're not 100% or even don't play at all, that's going to be huge for the Jaguars. This is a matchup that I do think the Jaguars can win even with those guys in. However, obviously, all of this stuff helps. So now we'll go ahead and look at the Bills' offense and how it matches up against the Jaguars' defense. Tyrod Taylor is an efficient quarterback. If he were in Jacksonville, which I would be fine with if I didn't think they were going to draft someone, if they were to sign him somehow this offseason, I think he'd be an upgrade from Bortles. He's not a star. I would not go out of my way to say that he's a star quarterback by any means, but he's effective. He's efficient. He doesn't turn the ball over. And in fact, this entire team, besides Nathan Peterman in his playing time this year, which I think was just the one start, this team otherwise does not turn the ball. I mean, Nathan Peterman had more interceptions in one game than Tyrod Taylor has in all 15 other games. So I don't know what that tells you, except for the fact that they really don't turn the ball over much unless Peterman is on the field. Taylor went, he completed about 63% of his passes this year. He had 14 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. He did take a lot of sacks. The offensive line isn't that great. McCoy is more of a creator himself when he's getting the ball. So Tyrod Taylor going down 46 times should provide hope for the Jaguars. However, he is a mobile quarterback. He's elusive. If anything, I would try more to contain rather than be aggressive with Taylor, because if you contain him, you can have him try and test the secondary. And although he isn't that much of a turnover guy, you might be able to force him into a lot of incompletions and just not being able to move the ball rather than actually committing turnovers. And obviously, this Jaguars defense, both at the pass rush and secondary being so strong, you can bounce that back and forth. You have the pass rush containing him and him testing this secondary, and I don't see anyone having a real great day against Jalen Ramsey, A.J. Boye, Aaron Colvin, Tashaun Gibson, and Barry Church, especially when your number one receiver is your running back. However, although the Jaguars have gotten much better against the run throughout the year, at one point they were ranked 32 in the league in rush defense. They then traded for Darius from Buffalo, and now I think they finished the season at 21st, so they definitely jumped up and got a lot better. However, McCoy is one of those backs that can create for himself. He averaged 4 yards per attempt this year, his long run of 48 yards and 6 touchdowns, and he finished the season with 1,138 yards. They also have Tyrod, who can rush the ball. He averaged 5 yards per attempt, 427 total yards, and 4 touchdowns. They have a powerful fullback slash running back half in Mike Tolbert, and you may know him from his days in Carolina, especially in the playoffs. They used him as a short yardage back, more than your average fullback. He's a guy that they can put in short situations, and he's just a powerful guy that can, even with a good run defense, it's hard to stop him just because he's so big. So if anything, when you look at this team and you see, I mean, it's hard to beat the Jaguars defense. It is. Even in the game against Tennessee where they just lost, like, the defense really just gave up 6 of the 15 points that the Tennessee Titans put on the board. And that was more from field position, the rest of their scores. Blake Bortles not having a good day. The offense not having a good day. The run game was decent. It was better than what it has been in some games this year. It still wasn't that good. All in all, it was just kind of a simple day. We didn't see Blake Bortles running the ball. It didn't seem like they utilized the playbook as much as they have in the past. And I was curious as to why they did that, whether they were just saving for the playoffs or something like that. I'm not sure. But I'd expect the offense to be show a little more firepower this week, especially against a Bills defense that is, it's okay. I mean, that's something we'll go over more when we do a crossover episode and get more details from some of the Buffalo Bills locked on team, and as well as we'll later in the week have me and Chris go over a lot more of their stuff individually because we're going to do the whole team with the Locked On Bills squad. But they do have a good defense. In terms of secondary, their starting safeties have combined for 10 interceptions, and Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. And then Tre'Davious White, who I was high on, actually, this past draft season. I wanted him to come to Jacksonville if they didn't sign A.J. Boye, be the number two corner. He has 4 interceptions and 18 defended passes. He's really come into his own. He was a guy that the Bills traded back into the they had traded back after, I forget who traded with them. They were originally a higher pick in the draft. They traded further back into the first round, and they took Trey White, I think, with the 27th overall pick, which is right in the range I figured he'd end up going. And people criticized the pick at first. They thought that the Bills might have wanted to go for a quarterback or for a better receiver or something like that, upgrade the offense. But they took White, and he's coming to his own. He's going to end up being a very good, like, cornerback number one for the Buffalo Bills. So when I look at this team as a whole, you have to be able to contain Tyrod and really limit McCoy as much as you can. And then suddenly their defense is solid in the secondary, so it's going to be hard for Bortles if he is trying to test them deep to really get the ball moving. However, they aren't very good against the run. This year, they ranked 29th in rush yards allowed with 124. So I think this is where Leonard Fournette needs to show that he's fully healthy and can make explosive plays that he's lacked in the past couple of weeks. Their average in actual pass yards allowed, and I think they've allowed more chunk yards rather than like big plays. So I'm still curious to see how Bortles would fare against a solid secondary. But they're in total allowing 355 yards a game. So if you can get the run game going really well with Fournette and with maybe some splashy plays from whether it's Chris Ivory if he plays or TJ Yeldon or even Corey Grant, shake things up and then have the pass come second to where there's not as much pressure on the pass game, I think that they can move well enough that the Buffalo Bills offense, as long as there's containment, they won't be able to catch up. The Jaguars will really need to grab a lead at first and maintain it throughout the game. And I'm figuring that should just about do it. Be sure, like I said, to check out the Locked On Jaguars handle at Locked On Jaguars. Follow myself at Zach_Goodall and follow my co-host Chris at Misto Cristofo. We are going to be recording tonight with the Locked On Bills crew, so be sure to check them out at Locked On Bills. We're excited for that episode. Might be a little trash talking if their fan base is represented through those guys, because they do have quite the fan base, as I said before. I've seen a lot of Bills fans actually chalking this up as an easy win, so if that's not a chip on your guys' shoulder, I don't know what is when they're the sixth seed. So we will see. We will catch up with you guys tomorrow.